Hey, the one game, and we talk a lot about, you know, the lines and the NFL. There's so much information, and, you know, their lines are very sharp. You know, it can be tough for sure in the NFL. But you were bang on the bounce back for Tom Brady. You guys go really in-depth into a lot of things. But you told me this week, after Tom Brady and the Patriots bounce back and they crush Cincinnati and look great, you're actually – you feel really strongly about Buffalo beating New England, Lance. Welcome back. How come?
Well, Jason, it's amazing how everything can change in 7 days, how public opinion can just shift. Last week, everybody was going crazy. Tom Brady was going to leave the Patriots, according to many reports. There was all sorts of different scenarios how, again, the Patriots were going to go 2-16. Now they win a game. They win it convincingly. They were in control all game. Well, funny enough, now we're looking to buck the tide once again. We're looking to see that, you know, who's really on the radar now, especially as a home dog, is the Buffalo Bills.
How many points are there? What's the line there?
It's a 3-point line. It's a 3-point line that's moved to 2.5 in a lot of places.
Oh, okay.
Which says a lot. I mean, again, it really.
But Kyle Orton.
So, Kyle Orton. Well, isn't it? You know what? I think I was listening before when you said, you know, the bottom versus the top of NHL players, there's not that huge a discrepancy. Well, in quarterbacks, I mean, yes, there's a huge discrepancy in many ways, but these are professional football players. There's 55 players make a team. It's
so now when you do you look at the history of the Bills at home in this, because I know you talked about Tom Brady, you know, back-to-back losses, him and Belichick, it rarely happens, right? Like they. So
right.
What's the history, the numbers showing you why the Bills as an underdog are a good bet?
One of the top plays that we have looking at our database is that since 1989, plus 500 teams off a win as a home underdog, which the Bills obviously qualify, are just 81 and one, basically 37% against the spread, that's the New England Patriots. And since 2010, they're 5-16 against the spread against any other over 500 team. So that's 2-19 against as a small dog or favorite after they come off of being a home dog.
Right, and so
there's a psychology to that.
Yeah, and I want to quickly remember back to last week. Is it better in the NFL using the spread rather than just straight up picks is more beneficial? Is that where you can maybe, no one ever beats the system per se, but are your odds better when you use the spread rather than just straight up games?
Again, it really depends, especially within key numbers. You know, within field goals, a lot of times that becomes more of a pick'em game, who's going to win. Of course, the idea behind the spread is just to even out the money flow. Otherwise, let's say, you know, a 10-point favorite, you know, looking at the odds here, what's the biggest game this week? You know, looking at Cincinnati and Carolina, Cincinnati at home is a 6.5-point favorite, for example. If everything was equal, everybody would bet Cincinnati. It would be very difficult to want to put money on Carolina without any kind of added bonus to it, which in this case would be 6.5 points or 6 points. To want to even that mentality of
but
where the wagers are coming
the
from.
The lines in the NFL are put there to entice you to bet to lose, even though you're thinking you're betting to win.
They're ideally in a conservative sports book. If you go to Vegas, ideally, unless the sports book literally is trying to entice people, that's what we mentioned last week about the trap lines, and most conservative books are looking to have equal money on both sides.
Okay.
And as a result, they basically get what's called the vigorish, the juice, the little extra that people have to pay that they won't get back even when they win. Like it's an 11, you know, 100 minus 110 being, or 11 to 10 is that you have to bet $11 and you get $21 back. All things being equal, if you and I were flipping a coin, it's 50-50. Well, over a long haul, over 3,000 wagers, it's going to be 50-50 still over the long run. As if we were just giving each other the same, you know, quarter that we were betting back and forth, it would just keep moving around. Nobody would ever lose. But as soon as you throw the juice in, the vigorish, all of a sudden somebody else is making money. It's usually the person, obviously the person who is making taking the wager.
Lance Bonetown Fisher joins us from WeekendWagers.com. Now, a lot of our listeners, of course, are diehard NHL guys, right? They play their pro line, they play their sports select, and you're getting into the weekend, and there's a lot of games on Saturday. The NFL, man, you want to find any information on the NFL, like, you know, the injuries are much more aware for bettors. The NHL is much more secretive. Is the NHL, and there's not as much information on it, does that make it better or worse for the people who like to drop 5, 10, 50 bucks on wagers?
It's always going to be better. Always
it's better.
The less information anyone has, just like why are, I would say, and I know from some experience of being in the fantasy sports industry world, people from Canada tend to be very, you know, no surprise, but very sharp when it comes to fantasy pools, picking players, etc. in hockey. They just know. I mean, people here have a feeling based on intuition, based on understanding the junior system, based on all these different factors that work their way up, similar to how a lot of people in the US look at football. Well, that always is good information when it comes down to making a wager on a team. And especially when there's every night and there's many games on every night, the bookmakers, first of all, don't generally take large wagers on the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball on any given night. It's usually, you know, primetime games where they have all the information. That's when they take bigger wagers. So you're always limited. Not that we bet $50,000 or $1 million, but, you know, that is kind of.
So Floyd Mayweather is not going to be able to drop a mil on the Oilers taking the Flames on last night.
He'd probably be able to drop about $5,000,
okay,
at best. Yeah.
So for hockey fans, then, you mentioned there's not as much information available. So the lines, because I remember when the Edmonton Oilers were tanking it down the stretch, I had my buddies who were, and they're like, man, this is unreal. Because the lines really weren't changing. The Oilers had scored, like, the over-unders hadn't changed. The Oilers had scored, I think, we're averaging one goal a game their last 17 games. And the line was never changing for the over-under. It was, you know, it was always pretty much 5.5. And they were like, man, this is easy money almost every time, because the Oilers literally weren't scoring. That would, the lines would never stay like that in the NFL. They would notice it, they would change it. So for people in hockey, do you find, is over under or like the minus one or plus two, like in hockey, is there more of a chance to take advantage of them not studying?
There's, yes, absolutely. And there's always more. Again, if you're looking over the, you know, how many 82 games times 30 teams, there's a lot of games, just like Major League Baseball. There's a lot of games that not everyone is going to be in tune with. Think about our listeners here that are looking at the NFL. They've been watching, some of them, especially the ones in fantasy, the ones who are going to make wagers on Sunday, they've been watching the injuries, the practices. I mean, there's so much information until that game is going to happen. There's nothing that anyone doesn't know. You know, game time decisions are, you know, they're possible. They happen all the time, but you really know most of the information that's come out. And the NFL actually also does a good job to actually promote that. Where in hockey, I mean, what do you know about somebody after they get injured? Upper body injury, lower body injury, he'll be out, you know, day to day, could be next day. There's just, first of all, the NHL tends to be very secretive, I guess, in their approach to what they're releasing. And then secondly, looking at it from a perspective of wagering, how many things change from day to day? You know, are these teams playing, other than the fact that they're playing back to back 3 and 4 days, fatigue tends to be a key factor, but everybody knows that. If somebody can, you know, scout the practices, I guess they would probably know more, but, you know, nobody's saying we got to go to that level. But in general, there are a lot more situational plays that can happen with 82 games in a season.
Like tonight, Carolina, the Islanders is the only game on track. And there's, you know, sure, you could look online.
A barn burner, Jason.
Yeah, you can go to NHL.com and see the lineup starts and stuff. But you're right, like, there's not the same type of focus on that as there would be on a random Monday night football game or a Sunday night or even, hell, one of the eight games Sunday morning. So in the NHL, as move forward to this weekend, and you look at all the history when you guys back in, you know, you go 30 years of looking at guys against the spreads and stuff like that, are the numbers, that information still there, though, for hockey if you want to dig
Absolutely.
Into it, right? So what are maybe some of the trends for people who know what? Now it's the first NHL weekend, they're like, okay, Oilers are taking on the Canucks. You know, the history of road teams, home teams in the NHL, like the East to the West, how much does that play into it, and how much should wagers be looking at that stuff for NHL?
Right now, this early in the season, again, everybody is limited in their information. In fact, I probably know more listening to your show about the Oilers or listening to 1260 all day about the Oilers than anyone anywhere. And that typically happens, especially in Canadian cities, where you're going to know your team that much better than anyone else. I mean, how many people today, aside from fantasy, you know, or people in pools, are really going to know a lot about Carolina and the Islanders as a matchup? Probably not that many. So when you're looking at the overall history, those are some of the pieces you have to consider. Early in the season, because there's so much limited information, one of the things that stand out is just looking for pace in the totals or the over-unders, looking for pace as to, you know, especially in the first 3-4 games of a season, are people going to be, is the pace going to open up? Are training, you know, are people coming off fatigue, training camps, you know, who's rested their players? Are they going to come out a little stronger? You know, we know some of the Oilers, you know, philosophies on how they've rested players and, how, you know, what did game one look like yesterday? So you got to kind of just balance limited information. It's like a poker game. You're trying to figure out what the other guy has. Well, in this case, we're very much similar. And of course, as games are continue to be played, everybody gets the same information as to how the Oilers are going to look, you know, within the last 5 games, and all we have is preseason to go on at this point. So, you know, this is a time that we tend to always make maybe a play or two every night, but, you know, even that we pass a lot because there's really nothing to play. The information is just so limited.
But isn't less information better?
Yes, it is, if you have more information. So if you know more about the Carolina and Islander game tonight, or you think you know more, then it's probably an advantage because there's not much information out there on it. Although being that it is a Friday night and it is the only game out there, I mean, it will still compete against college football in the States. It'll compete against preseason NBA. It'll compete against Major League Baseball, obviously, the game tonight. So
those would be the big games, I'm sure.
This will be well fourth or fifth or 12th.
We've had some text messages from people wondering about betting baseball. Is there a significant difference? Because baseball is so much more statistically driven, right? Like, you know the pitcher's matchups, lefty to righty, certain situations. Are they can they hit on a two-strike count? All those sorts of things. So with that much information for baseball, but then because it's playoffs – and playoffs are, we all know in every sport, playoffs are much more unpredictable than the regular season. So is betting the postseason, even though the emotions of bettors, I think, are way more invested, more of a dangerous bet?
Absolutely. Back to the prime time theory. Everyone is watching this game. Everyone's watching batting practice. Everyone is watching every angle of who is saying what, how. I mean, because the focus, back to focus. If everybody's got the information, you're flipping a coin. And not to say that we're looking for 70-30 edges, but, you know, if you know there's somebody's ailing in a different way, not that we know this, but if there's information out there about, again, back to using this show as an example, we pretty much here know everything about the Edmonton Oilers at any given moment between all the different shows during the day. You know, some of that can be used against the line to strategize how the Oilers, you know, what the mentality is, what the makeup is today, tomorrow, because there's so much information, there's so many interviews. That's information that can ultimately, in, you know, very small pieces, kind of be used as tools against betting the line.
Lance Montown Fisher joins us from WeekendWagers.com. What are your picks that you would lean to this weekend? I mean, we want to preface that by saying there's never a guarantee. There's no lock of the week. You were big on Tom Brady last week. You're big on the Bills. Which other matchups do you like in the NFL this week?
Well, I could say also with the text coming from the baseball side, yes, we all saw Clayton Kershaw going 0-2 in the postseason, giving up seven runs. Yeah, everybody saw that, right? Yeah. Like, you know, so obviously there is, you know, and just remember that first game, LA was, I think it was a 5.5 under total. And I mean, what did they score? 19 runs that game?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this is why they play the game in real life and not on paper. But again, back to, you know, this week coming up, one of the big games we do definitely have a lean on is the Bills. Again, everybody is essentially looking at the Patriots, or many people.
And that's because the Patriots historically against the spread. And so a lot of people will say, well, I like to bet with my gut. And Tom Brady, they look like they're back and they're rolling. I don't care about the history of 25 years ago. Why does the history, like, at what point do you say, okay, I'm going to take in the information of the history, but then I'm also going to go with my gut?
There's so many factors in this game. Just on almost, it's almost a blind betting game. Only in a sense, blind being, it's situational. Not, again, we saw Tom Brady. If he's going to be the Tom Brady of old, then, I mean, you know, obviously it's going to be an easy victory for the Patriots. Years and years ago, I was in Buffalo when they won 37-0, and I remember how embarrassing it was to just be sitting in Buffalo. But in this case, you're looking at a home underdog. That's one of the huge situational trends when a team is a home underdog.
Okay.
As well as the fact that it's a divisional game. You know, the Patriots and the Bills play each other twice a year forever. You know, there's a lot of extra intensity that's built upon these games. There's a lot of added value to looking at a home team here, home cooking, the rest of it. I mean, it's not a huge travel day from New England to Buffalo, but in Buffalo, there's a lot of hope right now, and it hasn't been extinguished just yet. So this is another key game that, not that any players ever take days off, but this is one of those games that relatively healthy, you know, quarterback's looking decent. Everything kind of fits in the favor of looking at a home team who's a dog right now.
So who are your other games then?
Other games we're looking at, actually tomorrow, one of the value picks, actually is Edmonton. Oddly enough, for that same reason.
Against the Canucks.
Against the
Don't
Canucks.
Tell other fans that right now, but hey.
Well, you know what?
Now, why are they a value pick?
They're a value pick because Vancouver now is at minus 165 to win that game. That means the Oilers are going to be anywhere between, you know, plus 135 and plus 150. Basically, everybody's written them off after game one already. You know, how Vancouver wasn't even supposed to be on the radar, on anybody's radar until, you know, for many weeks, and all of a sudden, you know, they weren't going to be anywhere in the division, and all of a sudden, you know, minus 165, that's a strong favorite. And considering how close the Oilers were in that game yesterday, you know, that's another one. That's another factor to play in that. Another thing, it is my team as well, but we definitely 9 points from the Blue Bombers. That's, you know, that's a lot of points giving up for the Eskimos. The Eskimos are -9 on this game, and that's a lot of points to be giving up. We think the Eskimos will win, but to cover double digits, it seems to be a big stretch right now.
Even though the Bombers have lost 5 in a row, and you got the worst O-line in the league?
Doesn't mean they're going to win the game, but we've watched the Eskimos for many weeks now this year. You know, what is a guarantee for the Eskimos? I wouldn't say there's too many, especially, again, to cover 9. You know, we definitely feel that Winnipeg will.
When you look historically between the NFL and the CFL for spreads, does one league historically, like, are the lines in the CFL like 9-point favorites? Is that more usual than you would see in the NFL? Like, does the NFL normally have that big?
Yes, definitely, especially when you're looking at the NFL.
I guess.
I was going to say, Oakland this week, I think I saw they also 7.5-point dogs. There's no double-digits favorite for the first time in 4 weeks, just random matchups. But, yeah, typically, like, I think the biggest spread we saw last year was, I think
well,
it was
Jacksonville wasn't
and not? It was 24 points, and they covered at the end. I think it was 19. But 24 points in a professional league where everybody's relatively equal on any given Sunday, that says a lot about perception. I mean, they didn't cover it in the end, but it was still. One thing to look at, particularly in the CFL, is what those key numbers are. Everybody comes from the CFL when they bet the CFL and think 7 is a huge number. And this is a little tidbit that you get in, you know, reading our newsletters. 7 is not the most important number as it is in the NFL. Typically in the CFL, 6 and 8 are much more common. 2 is a more common number because of the rouge, etc., than 7 or 3 in the NFL. Really, there's 3 big numbers in the NFL: 7, 3, and 10. Those are the numbers you have to always, and that's talking about which side you're going to bet on if you get that extra half point versus the CFL, where 7 looks like a good line. Well, that team can cover 7, but it's usually more like 8 or 6. It tends to be the more key number when you're looking at a wager in the CFL.
Oh, okay. Nice. Well, once again, you can get you can sign up online at weekendwagers.com. They have some tidbits. And for all the college football fans, because I know the college games are big, they've got some information on why a lot of times it can be beneficial to go at more of the low-tier Division I teams You can get more healthy opportunities in your favor rather than the Alabama games just because of the lack of focus on it.
There is actually one more for tonight that I did scratch into my paper here, which was the NCAA game between San Diego State and New Mexico. Last week, I believe it was a Texas Tech. The number moved about 5 or 6 points, and as a result, Sports Select, which has to keep the line for many days, they open the line up very early and they maintain it. They don't move it like sports books. This week, today, actually, San Diego State and New Mexico is 49.5, whereas it's actually moved to 53.5 in the real world, in the offshore betting and Vegas betting odds. So it's a 4-point difference from where it was and where it is. Yet you're gonna, if you wanted to bet that game tonight at 49.5, that's a pretty good value. 4 points is a long way to go, and you're getting 1.7 on that, which is, it's just pretty reasonable.
So when it goes up to 53, it's better to go under the 49 or over?
No, it's using the number that has been set in place now for 3 days or 2 days. They're sitting at 49, whereas if you were to bet this game in an offshore book or if you were in Vegas trying to bet this game, it'd be 53. So we already like...
So then is it better to go over or under is my question.
On the 49, yeah. And we already think it's going to go over. Why would we not?
No, but which one? Go over it?
Go over 49.
Yeah.
Because that's the one that's being fixed on here.
Oh, okay. Lance, once again, people can go to weekendwagers.com to get more information.